You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just Monday, it's Raj's birthday. I'm Jack Farmer, he's Justin Labar. Raj Geary, though, it's his birthday. We're going to be selling it all night long as we talk about the 3 hours of can't miss TV we call Monday Night Raw. Before we get to the big guy, Justin, how are you doing so far today?
Probably not as good as birthday boy Raj, but I'm hanging in there.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Raj, how's the birthday going so far?
You know, mostly good. Mostly good. My tickets for the weekend, I get an email this afternoon that the weekend concert that I was supposed to go to with my wifey and some friends has been canceled. Completely canceled. Oh. Not rescheduled, canceled. And longtime listeners of the podcast know how I am with the weekend. I was really pumped and it's gone. So a little, you know, champagne problems.
Yeah. When was the concert supposed to be?
In Denver.
No,
when? I think it was March. February or March.
Oh. Well, it's not like it was supposed to be like tonight on your birthday or something.
Oh, no. But I got the... See, Ticketmaster, they should have a thing where it looks at your birthday. And if it's your birthday, they don't send that email out. It goes out the next day.
But today's technology.
It's easy to do.
We can put a man on the moon. We can figure out emails.
Yeah, February 27th was when it was supposed to be.
Well, you know, take my breath, not take my tickets. That's the problem.
They took my tickets and my breath.
Hop in the Wrestling Inc. jet and just go to a different city to see.
I was blinded by this news.
Well, if you buy new tickets, it'll be worth it. Let's try to make it girl, you're worth it. I don't know.
And Guns N' Roses, too. That was the other there were two concerts I was looking forward to. Guns N' Roses, which I've been to, and The Weeknd. Both canceled.
Does it say why they canceled that far out?
So, with The Weeknd, he's saying that first it's a lot of the restrictions at the arenas, and because of all the demand for him, he wants to change it now to a stadium-only tour instead of doing arenas. So, they're saying they're going to reschedule for stadiums. So, we'll see.
That seems dicey.
And I got to say, Michael, Issa, Dro, Samantha, everyone, thank you guys. Really appreciate it. I've been overwhelmed with all the well wishes on Twitter and everywhere today. It's crazy. Thank you guys.
Sometimes Twitter can be a nice place and they can do nice things, but let's throw that out the window and let's talk about ratings.
It's not a nice place when it comes to ratings.
This is where things get dicey. This is where things get a little scary. Ratings this weekend, Friday specifically, this had everyone abuzz. The war was on. The shots were fired. Breaks down SmackDown, 866,000 viewers with a 0.24 demo. Rampage, 578,000 viewers with a 0.24 demo as well. Equal ratings in the demo throughout, but head-to-head, AEW got the win. And before people think that I'm just saying that because I'm an AEW homer, I say it because it's noteworthy. If SmackDown won, who cares? That's not news. But the fact that AEW seemed to be in the lead during the head-to-head time seems very interesting to me. Now, Raj, there was all sorts of chatter about what's being measured where and who and all this other stuff. Can you help simplify this for a guy like me that doesn't get it?
Sure. So to simplify it, overall, more people watched SmackDown than watched Dynamite. I'm sorry, Rampage. But in the demo that is the main demo for advertisers, in the 30 minutes head-to-head, Rampage beat SmackDown in that demo, even though a lot more people watched SmackDown than Dynamite head-to-head. Rampage, sorry. You guys know what I mean.
Right.
And here's the thing. WWE is going into a renewal year next year. The next year is when they're going to start talking with Fox and USA. you don't want another company even close when you're making $500 million a year in TV rights and you want an increase. So, yeah, you can look at it like, okay, if you want to say in total viewers, WWE won, for sure. In the demo, if you were to go to Show Buzz Daily and they had those that last half hour listed separately, Dynamite would be on top. So, you know, you can take it the way you want, but WWE does not want another wrestling promotion that close when it's coming time to renew these huge lucrative deals that are the bulk of their revenue.
Yeah, that was the thing that stood out to me. And Justin, I want to get your take on it. But real quick, I want to say that was the thing that stood out to me because it's not like they're paying, Fox is paying close to the same amount of money that TNT is. I mean, it's like four times more than what TNT is paying. And if you're getting somewhat close viewership, I have to think there's a number cruncher at Fox going, wait a minute, like this doesn't seem like four times more the viewers when we're paying four times more the money.
And we, one thing we don't know is how much AEW is making from advertising. Like, are they getting those ad rates comparative to WWE? Like, is a point, you know, a point four for what they're getting the same ad rates that they're getting, that WWE is getting for Raw when they do a point four? I mean, granted, you're not going week to week, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, you know, we don't know. So to Fox, because WWE is the Kleenex, the Coca-Cola, maybe they are getting way more in ad revenue just based on that, just based on, you know, the name value alone. But who knows? If not, you don't want another company that close to you.
Right.
Yeah, there's positive takeaways for each side. I mean, and really it's not surprising. It kind of, all these numbers did was just kind of confirm when we have a head-to-head situation what we already knew. And you can look at the in total, yeah, more people are watching SmackDown. We know that WWE has a larger pool of an audience. I mean, it's, you know, it's still good that WWE got that even with being on FS1. I think that's a key distinction to also remember, is that it's FS1, it's not Fox. We know more people watch WWE, but as Raj said, the importance is the fact that those that are watching, you know, WWE just skews to a far older audience, and advertisers, again, you know, they want young, they want younger, and so AEW still has a long way to go in terms of growing their pool, having their total reach be, you know, be more significant in the millions. But yeah, to be 30 minutes head to head with WWE when WWE's using Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and unloading some pretty big names, it's definitely something that allows AEW to take a victory lap. Absolutely.
One thing that the numbers don't include is WWE, they were on My Network TV in two markets, in Chicago and in New York. Now, in those markets, I don't know why they did this, because all that does is bring down their FS1 number in those markets some. But overall, if you're just adding up viewers, it's not apples to apples, because those would be network numbers on My Network TV, whereas it's cable on FS1. You add those up, then SmackDown did almost 1 million viewers. It's 955,000 and 331,000 in 18 to 49. So one of their better viewerships overall is their second best audience overall, if you include those when they weren't on Fox. But right, you know, yeah. Still. Dude, the official number that's going to be listed is just the FS1 number.
Is there a way to see what Fox would do, like if they were just showing Family Guy reruns or something? Like, do we know like what a, because Fox is going to get numbers regardless if they put something on like on TV. Is there kind of like a way to see what the baseline is?
So this was for baseball, obviously. Fox is not moving WWE except for sports. Three of the times they moved it have been for baseball. One time was college football, but
right.
Yeah, I mean, if you look on Friday nights, WWE is beating everything in the 18 to 49 demo. They're beating everything on network TV pretty much every week. In terms of total viewers, they're dead last. I'm not counting CW, you know, but I mean, as far as ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, they're usually dead last. So that 18 to 49 demo is what's attractive to Fox. That's what they're winning every Friday. So when people say, oh, it's just the It's just the demo. No one cares about the demo. I mean, that's... Those are WWE's best numbers.
Yeah.
Is the demo number.
Well, and let's just enjoy the greatness, which is the trash talk. I mean, it's war in the Twitter streets. Right. But, I mean, it's fun to see Roman Reigns going out there and defending his company. It's kind of – it feels a little lopsided because you have Tony Khan, who is the head of the AEW table, and he will – and he's very active on Twitter. You know, Vince is not going to be popping up authentically typing to doing his own tweets and battling back at him. I think maybe 25 years ago, Vince might have been on Twitter.
Vince and Bischoff. Could you imagine if they had Twitter back in 98?
Vince on Twitter would be the best follow you could ever have.
Vince would have got his account suspended temporarily.
Bischoff, man, he would have been a nightmare on there.
Oh, that would have been so entertaining. That would have been better than the shows, I think. That would have
Bischoff would have had a live Periscope going while like Raw's taping or something.
I would have loved it.
I still say I love the trash talk, and I think it's good for them. I mean, you look at Rampage, their numbers were lower last week. Tony Khan sends out a tweet, and now suddenly Friday night is must-see TV. Rampage is must-see.
Yeah, Tony Khan's tweeting about how Darby Allin's great. It's not getting that kind of attention. Him talking smack about WWE, that had thousands of retweets. And so, look, I think it's healthy. I think it's fun. It's not getting nasty, in my opinion. Like, it's just some friendly smack talk. I love what Roman Reigns was saying. I do think if you have a problem with what Roman was saying and not Tony Khan, or vice versa, then...
Yeah.
You're probably biased, but I thought it was great. I think Roman, it's clear he was in character when he's doing this interview, and
right,
he's just great. He's just awesome.
What a flex by Tony Khan of, I have more money than them. I can go commercial free longer than they can. Right, yeah. I mean, what a flex.
That was, yeah. I mean, I said, like, that's probably the comment that probably irked Vince the most. Of everything that was out, that's the one that probably pissed Vince off. Because he knows Tony himself does not have more money than him. And he doesn't want that out in the headlines of this owner of another wrestling company having more money than him.
Right. And, I mean, like I said, Top Dollar doing the raps also about the young guys.
There's sneakers.
Yeah, I love it. It's just fun. it doesn't hurt anybody, but now it makes, like, Top Dollar seemed like a bigger star because he's taking shots and doing this stuff. I loved it. I feel like it's win-win-win all around the board. So
okay. I think it's great.
Keep it up, fellas.
Yeah.
But we're about to get into...
As long as you're not getting personal, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's you can make it weird and not fun. But for now, so far, it's been fun.
Right.
And they, like I said, they should be. If you're the champion, if you're Roman Reigns, you should say that you could beat up anybody, anywhere. You know, it'd be silly for him to be like... You know, we're all doing our best, just trying to get by. Like, he's the head of the table. Come on.
Who do you think would win a fight with CM Punk and Roman Reigns? CM Punk is a former UFC fighter.
I don't know. That's tough. I feel like I want to say Roman Reigns, but to be fair, CM Punk has trade. I don't know, but I feel like Roman Reigns.
I thought you were going to ask who would win in a fight between Tony Khan and Vince, and I was going to go,
I think you would Tony Khan.
Actually, now, today?
Yeah, today.
No.
Vince
is what, 77, 78?
Vince has aged 70 years in the last 20.
I don't know, though. You see these gym videos of him.
Yeah,
though.
That's true. Yeah, he's still ripped. Vince, I don't know if he could throw a punch, though.
He's a Terminator. He's made of metal. He's not gonna, he could beat up anybody. I take him over everybody on the planet. He'd find a way.
I don't know. So real quick, the head-to-head numbers. So Rampage head-to-head, it did I got the numbers here. AEW did 328,000 viewers in 18-49 demo. WWE did 285,000. As far as overall viewers, it was... Where are those numbers? Sorry. All right.
And while you're pulling those up, just to say, I think it's a win for both sides, because let's not forget, playoff baseball was on. Like, it's not, like they had some big competition beyond pro wrestling happening as well. So to get those numbers, I think is still really good.
Well, and to deal with a young demo, you know, at, on a Friday night at 10 p.m., you know, right. It's just.
Yeah.
So total viewers head-to-head, SmackDown did 878,000. Rampage did 602,000 in that 30 minutes. SmackDown was commercial-free the whole time. AEW was commercial-free for the first match, not the whole time. So AEW won head-to-head in the demo by 15%. WWE won overall in total viewers that 30 minutes head-to-head by 46%.
And let's be honest, if Tony Khan and AEW had some special show, that they did like a special show on a Monday for 3 hours, or even 2 hours, and went head-to-head with Raw, it would be the same result. Raw would get more total viewership than them, but Dynamite would probably kick its ass in the key demo.
Well, here's another thing we got to remember. FS1 is a weak station.
Yeah.
I have no doubt if this SmackDown aired on USA, and they can't because their deal is with Fox, and USA is NBC, but if that show aired on Fox, on USA, it does way more viewers and a way better number. FS1, I mean, we saw earlier this summer when NXT moved to Sci-Fi, and Sci-Fi is in a similar number of homes as USA, but they dropped 40% from the week before. They were on USA 1 week, the next week when they're on Sci-Fi, dropped 40%. It has a huge effect when you're on a weaker station. And FS1 is weak as hell. To think that it's going to do SmackDown with Brock and Roman Reigns is doing 800,000 viewers on USA, it's just not true. It's not.
Do we know what the average like rating is on FS1? It can't be that high.
They do good numbers for big baseball games, but that's it.
Right. Yeah.
They're number 67 overall with all the networks. I think TNT is top five.
And these numbers don't ever take in the DVR plays. No, because I did notice that I had forgot. Like I have a DVR recording series set for SmackDown on Fox, and it automatically switched it over and recorded FS1 for me. Which I was happy to see because I didn't realize it. The DVR numbers don't come into play, right? That has no bearing on this.
For that night. It's live plus same day. So if you DVR'd it and watched it within 3 hours or whatever, it would count.
Yeah. Peter in the chat says demos weren't important till Meltzer mentioned them. Shows get canceled for lack of total views. Not demos. SmackDown 1. Happy birthday, Raj.
Thank you, Peter. I mean, I'll just say this. As a website owner, we get paid way more for an ad that shows up on a U.S. browser than overseas. It's just, that's just how it works. We get paid way more for the demo than outside of it. It's just how it works. I mean, Marvel is not going to want to advertise on a show that a bunch of old people watch, right? And so all those video games and all the stuff that people are spending money on, you're going to want to put that on shows where you have a younger audience.
Yeah, and to counter Peter's opinion is, if you ask an advertiser, okay, do you want to say that you were seen by a higher total number, or would you rather be seen by a percentage of that but have far more engagement? And they're going to take engagement because engagement translates into conversion, meaning it translates into sales for them.
You're not seeing Avengers commercials during golf, or video game commercials during golf, because that's an older audience, and you're going to want to put your commercials on the shows where you're reaching people that'll actually buy the product. So
golf's Fidelity Life Investments and life insurance. And it's,
yeah.
I was watching, do you guys watch
fibromyalgia medication and things like that?
Do you guys watch, Mad Money?
I've seen it. I don't watch it regularly. Okay. I know it's the guy,
Jim Cramer.
There's
a commercial to buy jets. it's like they have to be paying a shit ton, and no one, you compare total viewers, it's not even close to what wrestling is doing. But you're not going to see a commercial for selling jets during Raw or SmackDown.
Right after the "there's metal in your lungs" commercial.
In your lungs.
Wait a minute. You're telling me sign guys not buying a private jet? You're telling me Squared Circle carries front row for every damn show. He probably has his own jet.
He might. Green shirt guy.
Frank the Clown.
Yeah, so I think demos matter. I don't really know much about ratings, but Jose in the chat says WWE heralded the 18 to 49 demo in 2009 PR releases.
Oh, they did it in 2000. Yeah, I mean, to this day, I just sent out a tweet where WWE sent out a thing just a few weeks ago when Brock came back, and they were, you know, they said they were top in the night in that demo.
Yeah. At the very least, I know AEW has constantly touted it, and if that's what they're always going for, they've said that before the head-to-head, so you got to give them that credit at least.
Yeah. Thanks, Gabriel. Thanks, JJ. Just want to say thanks to some of these guys. I really appreciate it. And, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, I just want to say thanks to everyone in the chat, by the way, for watching. Thanks to everyone for engaging with us. Thanks for all the super chats. Thanks for all the likes, comments, and subscribes, the shares, the five-star reviews, the comments in the five-star reviews. Guys, we're getting into that spooky season of the year, you know? And do you know what's spookier than seeing a black cat on Halloween? It's shaving your balls with anything other than Manscaped. When it comes to below-the-waist grooming, there's no need to carve your pumpkins this Halloween because Manscaped is here to upgrade your grooming experience. Go from a bite-sized candy bar and join 2 million men worldwide by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code WINC20. This is... How am I supposed to get through that without breaking? Come on, Manscaped. Have you ever tried to trim your balls and it turned into a Freddy Krueger film? Well, luckily, Manscaped is here to save the day and make sure you're smelling fresh with their new refined body wash. Fellas, the ladies love their signature scent, and it will scare away those vampires. So,
fellas, if you want to say trick or treat, make sure you use Manscaped.
If you want to give a treat, you have those balls shaved.
Oh, Lordy. This is a tough one.
Carve your pumpkins. Don't have
a bite. Exactly. Keep those pumpkins smooth.
what great advice.
We haven't even started. We've gone so far downhill. We haven't even gotten to Raw yet. But Manscaped rocks. Thank you, Ethan, bringing this up. Manscaped rocks. You guys in the chat got to try it out. If you never did, you're missing out. Been using it for years. It's great. You never get any cuts. And you keep your boys looking good for the ladies or the guys. You know. So there you go.
The whole thing's nice. All the different, the lawnmowers, all the different versions of the razors or of the trimmers, the shaving kits, you know, the all the accessories to it, the boxers, the shirts, everything is comfortable. Everything is comfortable or serves a very, very important purpose.
Very, very specific. Purpose. But yeah, the shirt's actually great. I like the shirt and the underwear is all good stuff. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code WINC20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code WINC20 at manscaped.com. Say trick or treat to your beautiful new Halloweeny with Manscaped.
Oh no.
I once answered the door for delivery service wearing my Manscaped shirt. It says your balls will thank you. My wife's like, we'll never do that again.
I wore it around the house one because it's such a soft shirt, and I didn't realize it was on the back. And my daughter saw it, and they're like, "Dad."
I took my dog for a walk wearing that shirt. I forgot all about it, and then I got home, and I was like, "Ah." Oh.
But the boxers are good. As long as you don't walk around your boxers, you're good.
Jack's walking the dog. He's wondering why everybody driving up behind him is beeping at him.
Man, good start to the show already. Let's get into Raw. Raj, this is where I'm going to disagree with you all the way through today, buddy.
Oh, no.
We're going to start. I just want to cover something that they were doing throughout the whole show. They were doing little trailers for the wrestlers that are coming to Raw, whether it be Bearcat Lee or Kevin Owens or Becky Lynch. What did you guys think of these videos? Justin, we'll start with you. Just kind of teasing the people who are coming over.
I mean, I don't mind them doing it. I mean, WWE always does good with production. They know how to edit stuff together. And it's, I mean, look, the draft was a couple weeks ago. We're in this confusing purgatory time before the draft results take into effect. And guys and girls are showing up on both shows to promote Crown Jewel. So it is hard to, like, keep track of, like, who's on what side starting next week. So, I mean, I don't mind it. You know, it's needed. I mean, I have to keep notes to change my spreadsheet. Yes, I actually have a spreadsheet. I have to keep notes to figure out and remember who's where.
I always forget who's on. Yeah, exactly. I don't know who's on what brand right now, especially because they keep saying next week it starts, but all of them are already wrestling. It's kind of a weird, weird spot to be in.
I know the top ones, but then, you know, when I'm thinking about, like, Chad Gable or someone like that, I have to really, like, go back and look because it's confusing right now. But I do like that they're doing that. I don't really believe they have much of a plan beyond that. I mean, Elias, what the hell happened with that?
Isn't he the Halloween Havoc guy?
No, it's a woman for Halloween Havoc. They've shown pictures, and it's definitely a woman.
Is it the one in, like, it looked like a graveyard on NXT?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
That looks like, I think that's Dakota Kai, I'm pretty sure. It sounded like her in the voiceover.
It could be. But yeah, it's not a guy. It's not a man. So,
but in any case,
it's a man, baby.
It's a man, baby.
In any case, if Raj
is your man,
it failed. I think it just failed miserably. Didn't do the job. Yeah. King Rail says Bobby's opening line to Goldberg was money. Bill even smiled. We know Bill isn't going to kill him, but both have did a great job to build this rematch. Oh, we'll talk about old the no holds barred interview.
I don't necessarily like all the murder, but I do agree that Bill sounds natural. We'll get to it, but that promo, it sounded like a sports promo, like you'd see for a UFC fight almost. Yeah, especially Bill. I thought Lashley here and there can sound a little scripted, but well, that Bill sounded natural.
How do you not sound scripted when someone just keeps saying, well, I'm going to kill you? Like, well, I got some pretty good moves. Yeah, but I'm going to kill you.
No, you're not.
I'm going to make you tap me out.
I'd love to see.
You'll get arrested, man, if you try.
Yeah.
I'd love to see. I want to see some kind of mathematical equation explaining and doing the conversion of how many hours, how many miles of travel Bill Goldberg does to Saudi Arabia for the lack of how few minutes he works, equaling the what I assume is at least seven figures.
Oh, it's seven figures.
That's the formula I want to see put together.
Yeah.
It's got to be like...
The wife is like, hey, the kid's going to get fucked up, but hey, seven figures. Sorry, kid.
Sorry.
You're taking a full Nelson.
Enjoy your winter break.
Listen, Junior, college is going to get paid for by one evening in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. You're taking your bumps. You're taking your bumps.
Suck it up.
We start the show with Charlotte and Bianca having a
we're at the start of the show still?
We're gonna run through some of this.
A
little trash talk to start. They set up a match for later in the night. But we also get Jinder Mahal versus Xavier Woods, King of the Ring. Looks like Woods is going to the finals. His dreams are coming true. Raj, let's start with you. You had Jinder winning this.
I thought Jinder was going to win. King of the Ring is always, you know, Finn Balor's going. There has never been two baby faces in the finals of King of the Ring. I mean, they rarely ever do baby face versus baby face in tournaments. So, yeah, it surprised me. But, man, I think Xavier's... The only reason why Xavier wouldn't win, in my opinion, would be because he was campaigning for it to win. But I think, man, he wins. He turns heel just over time, just being really letting the King gimmick get to his head. Starts turning Kofi, you know, away from him. He starts being really obnoxious. I think Xavier would be able to pull it off great. I think this could be taking him to the next level.
Yeah, I agree. The moment I saw Xavier Woods win tonight, I was like, well, he's winning this tournament. I truly do think that, you know, that this is going to be his to win. That's a great stat and an observation, Raj, on the baby versus baby not being not ever happening for King of the Ring finals. So that's kind of cool. I mean, they did. I liked the little bit of, you know, heat they try to get behind these two babies by having the, you know, the jaw jacking with each other later in the night. But yeah, I mean, Xavier Woods, look, he makes King of the Ring fun again. King of the Ring for so long, and I'm talking mainly post pay-per-view era, when it just became this random special that they would do over top of Raw or SmackDown when they needed something. It was just so dull, so played out. But he's made it fun again. I feel like he represents all of us that remember when King of the Ring was more meaningful and did catapult careers in the 90s. And so to see him vocally, you know, campaigning on his social channels, and then now they've actually taken it and put it on WWE television. It's like, wow, I think he's going to get it. And if he doesn't get it, it's like, I think you're just asking for instant heel heat on Finn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about this.
The one area where I think it would work, because Finn Balor winning as a babyface, it doesn't elevate him. It does nothing. He's in the same spot. This would elevate Xavier. If Finn went back to just being the demon, but doing the demon king, and finding a way to incorporate that with the makeup. You can't do the corny crown and cape, but if you incorporated that into that getup, that could be cool.
The visual of Balor being king would be amazing. Woods would be fun. I think because he's the first one so long that has really wanted it, as you guys had mentioned, makes him fun. But I'll be honest, I was gutted when Jinder lost. I really wanted him to win this. I was way more invested in him winning than I thought I was until the match started.
Maharaja. Maharaja means king.
I wanted it to happen so bad. I think that Woods would be a fun king to watch. Maybe. Do you think maybe that leads to almost like an Edge and Christian thing between Kofi and Woods, that maybe jealousy starts to unpack between the two?
I think it's a natural. Xavier can be a great heel.
I disagree with you, Raj. I think they'll never break up New Day. Never going to happen.
It doesn't mean Kofi can't be a heel too.
I don't know. Like, Xavier can be a great heel, but I kind of do think that, like, the New Day probably it'll come out one day in post career interviews or Hall of Fame speech. I kind of feel like they've probably made a pact or even said to Vince in the office, like, look, we just are not going to do the routine breakup, and we're not going to do the Shield somebody stabs in the back. We're just not going to do that. Like, let us book us as individuals, but we're just not going to do that cliche. Nobody's going to buy into it. They're just such an effective unit as a group, as heel or faces. I don't know.
But if you do Xavier as king, it's getting to his head. He tells Kofi he's going to be his jester. You know, just doing stuff like that. I think it could be great. And I think it'd be huge. I mean, that's a big match. Kofi versus Xavier with the right storyline. It's not real. So why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah,
it's a story. It's your characters. Their names aren't really Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods.
How dare you?
So, why wouldn't you do it?
They'll never break up, Raj. They're gonna be friends.
Whatever.
Jody Shawna Jenkins says, Justin, any chance Balor wins King of the Ring, starts wearing a mask, and then takes over the Firefly Finn house, eventually leaving WWE.
I mean, of course, there's a chance that he wins King of the Ring. I mean, he's got a 50% chance, and it's very possible too. I mean, he's the prince, so it's very possible they play off of that. He was over tonight. Sacramento was not a hot crowd, but his entrance, they were all into it. He was over, so yeah, there's certainly a chance. But in terms of your fantasy booking after that, I don't think so.
They're not bringing back the Funhouse.
No, that's
Yeah.
Did we ever get a follow up to? You know, what happened with him and Roman at the pay-per-view, and like the demon, and the music brings him alive. Like, did we ever get any nothing? Okay.
Nope.
No.
Just checking.
Nope. What, are you crazy? Of course not.
So, speaking of crazy,
real quick, Tim Mickles, why break up the New Day? This isn't the Shield. I just think it'll take Xavier to the next level. I think Xavier could get there. the king gets to his head, the throne gets to his head, I think he could, you know, Kofi's had his day in the sun. Biggie has it right now. I think Xavier, this would get him there.
If he goes, if Woods wins the title somehow, uses this and wins the title, New Day's got to be the greatest faction of all time, right? All three of them grow into world champions from it?
Ooh, well, that depends. Like, are you counting NWO, Four Horsemen?
Sure. Are you counting The Shield?
I mean, The Shield isn't anywhere close to NWO or
Well, no,
Horsemen.
But I'm just saying,
because of longevity, too.
Yeah, longevity. Yeah, I guess it depends what metric you're looking at. Like, New Day didn't change the business. The Shield didn't change the business. NWO did. Like, that changed business. DX had big effects on ratings. But as far as being consistently on top, they're up there for sure.
Yeah, I think they'd have to be in the conversation. Let's talk about this amazing backstage moment where Austin Theory is cutting the promo of a lifetime. The 24/7 title crashes through. We see Austin Theory challenge
Jack,
the legend,
R-Truth. This is where we're getting into it.
And then, surprise, surprise, GM R-Truth changes the match, and we get a legend, Jeff Hardy, getting a rematch with Austin Theory. They have a match. Austin Theory gets the win, but Jeff Hardy gets a little revenge at the end. Raj, was this the greatest moment in the history of WWE Raw?
Jack, I hope you cut yourself carving your pumpkins.
Yes. Don't use Manscaped next time, just so you could get some. Just could cut yourself.
My little jack-o'-lanterns?
I hope you gig your jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah, exactly. So your jack-o'-lanterns get a little nick. you know how I feel about all these rematches with no story. Why is there a rematch? Why is this a rematch when Austin Theory beat him clean? And then we're going to get into it later with, you know, Big E and Drew. What storyline sense does it make for them to be facing Dolph and Bobby Roode again when they beat him clean? So at least shoot an angle. You know, they attacked him backstage, or they've been mouthing off on social media, something. And again, this made no sense storyline-wise, but I like Austin Theory getting a win. I don't think he should have beaten Jeff Hardy again tonight. I think he should have beaten somebody else. But Austin Theory, man, I see it in him. I see him as a star.
Yeah, and look, he's a young cat. Like, in the day and age where if you look at WWE's roster, and of course it's been the talk right now of the age bracket, where – you know, it's so heavy on the 30s and 40s. I mean, he's young, but he doesn't look young in terms of his the way he works. I mean, he looks experienced. He looks like, you know, I don't want to say a veteran, but just he doesn't look like a rookie. And I don't like the backstage nonsense. It was all stupid. And, you know, Raj, you have a point of like, why is he beating Jeff Hardy again? But even still, you know, he beats Jeff Hardy. He's getting his finish over clean by beating Jeff Hardy, you know, doing the selfie thing after the fact. I mean, if you would have told me 12 months ago that Austin Theory would have a better booked
debut
opening run on Raw than Karrion Kross, I would have said you're nuts. I would have said you're nuts. But here we are, and Karrion Kross, Austin Theory has more more consistent, you know, logical booking than Karrion Kross does.
Right.
It was going to be better, by the way, while his thing being taking selfies with people.
Right. Bernie DC saying Theory should have been beating Killings tonight. Granted, he's been mainly 24/7, but still a good notch on Austin's belt. He should have been beating an Ivar or an Eric. There's so many guys he can be beating. Why are you just doing the same match? And then you kind of take his heat away at the end, you know, with Hardy.
See, Raj, this is what they're doing. They're building up right now. Austin got both wins, but right now he has one selfie. Jeff Hardy has the other selfie. I think Survivor Series.
Ooh, selfie versus selfie?
Who is leaving with the third selfie? Break the selfie tie.
Yeah, well, talk about it.
Survivor Series. That's
talk about a money stip.
Social media supremacy on Survivor Series. Jody says in the chat, Raj, Spirit Squad changed the business.
They were in a main event, right? They weren't that against DX. That was a Hell in a Cell main event, wasn't it?
06.
Yeah. Hey. And then Jax is taking offense to me saying New Day didn't change the business. It all died after NWO till New Day brought it back as far as long-term faction and merch sales. They have done well with merch sales, but
NWO almost to anybody is almost unfair because you can try to look at the trio of the original three, obviously, but then NWO became what the whole goal was, really, the end game. It became its own brand. I mean, it ended up having, if you tally it, NWO had over 20 different people, maybe even over 30. So, like, NWO is almost like its own brand. I mean, you can't really compare it to any of these other trios or force. You can't compare it to the Four Horsemen. You can't compare it to the New Day or Shield or.
I feel like Four Horsemen almost had 20 people in it if you add all of them up.
Well, yeah, they did. Yeah, that's true, I mean, yeah. Paul Roma was in there. Paul Roma, Sid Vicious, which I love Sid.
Yes.
Lex Luger,
Ole Anderson. Wasn't Sting in there for a minute?
I think he was.
And then they turned on him?
He was, but then I can't remember if he was like one of those like affiliated guys more than an actual member. Because it was kind of weird, wasn't it?
Someone in the chat will know. I could have sworn he was in briefly and they turned on him, but maybe you're right that it was just he was teaming with them.
I was always a Mongo guy myself, but
man,
Jack, do you follow the Mongo Twitter account where it's like just all of Mongo's just crazy botches?
Yes, it's a good follow. Anyone who's not watched,
Mongo is a hell of a personality. I'll say this. I mean, they threw him into the deep end of the pool quick, but man, if that guy did not care and he was just willing to go all in, I love Mongo. I thought he was awesome.
What's the story?
He is. He's got ALS.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's sad to see the pictures of what he's dealing with now. What's the story though? Because like people forget, Mongo was WWE first. Mongo was a big part of WrestleMania 11.
Yeah.
And the LT versus Bam Bam, and being on the NFL side, and he got into it with Kama. Like out of all the NFL guys, besides LT, Mongo was the most physical. Consistently in the build and on the night of Mania, what happened that because then all of a sudden he shows up, he's at the first Nitro. He was on the first Nitro, right? He was with the commentator, he was there six, you know, so Mania was March of 95. He's first Nitro September 95. What the hell happened that they lost hold of him? WWE, I mean,
I don't think they wanted him. I don't think they saw him as the star, and WCW took him right away. And look, I thought. Look, if you ask Rick who he wishes wasn't a part of the Horsemen, it's not Mongo. He loved Mongo. Rick was with Mongo this past weekend.
Yeah.
He loved him. So
who does Rick not want as a Horseman then?
Probably Paul Roma. Yeah. I'm sure is in there.
Yeah, he's fun. Mongo's fun to make fun of, but I felt like he always was giving it his all. You know?
And a lot of people bringing up Sting was in Four Horsemen, took a title shot against Flair, and they turned on him.
Chris Benoit was a Four Horseman, too.
Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko.
Brandon Hall in the chat says, yes, Sting was a member briefly, but was kicked out because he wouldn't turn down his shot against Ric Flair for the world title.
Yes.
Sounds very similar to Evolution. So,
I think that was like in 1990, 91. But
yeah.
Flair turned on Sting so many times they were making him look like an idiot by the end, but yeah.
So speaking of title, friends turning on each other because of the title, we get Drew McIntyre and Big E versus the Dirty Dogs. I was saying to myself all week, and I don't know about you guys, but all week I was asking myself this question. Could Drew McIntyre and Big E coexist? And I finally got that question answered today. And I was surprised by the answer. Justin, were you?
Coexist. Coexist.
It's like, why do they need to? What's the story? Why do they need to be a team?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they say, no, I'm not teaming with that guy? There's no reason for us to. There's no titles. We're not in a feud with the other guys. Why would you do it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I'm Drew McIntyre, I'm immediately jumping off the apron, leaving Big E to his own, and letting Big E get softened up in a handicap match so I can then go and beat him 3 days later. The coexisting for this, you know, mystical babyface integrity that you got to have, screw that.
Yeah. If I was Big E, I'd say I'm the world champion. I'm not being in some random tag team match. Do you know would Roman Reigns team up with some random dude and tag team against some random? No, I would never do that.
Roman and Brock Lesnar to see if they could coexist for no reason.
Oh, if they could, who would stop those two?
Actually, that would be awesome. Could you imagine Brock and Roman as a tag team? Good God.
Crush everybody.
A little fact, Brock has not been in a tag team match since he returned after the UFC stint.
Really? I guess that makes sense.
Only singles, because he makes so much per match, the money is him doing singles matches.
I mean, I don't know if I really want to see him in a tag team match, but...
Him and Roman would be pretty, as a team, would be pretty badass.
You know what's crazy in the WWE world is you think back, like... WWE, when they actually did, again, I'm going back in like to the 90s at this point. I mean, they did, obviously, you can go to Mega Powers and such with Savage and Hogan. But like, I think in the 90s, like, you know, Rock and Sock, or there was a point with Austin had one or two. There was a couple times where you saw the oddball, you know, keep your enemies closer tag team pairings, and they might even win tag team titles. And like, those were some of the best stories when they did them. But it wasn't every month or every year. Right. And now it's so
like
funny.
Savage and Warrior, they did that.
Right. Now it's like, God, that's become that is just the fallback.
Anytime you have two baby faces facing off for the title, that's the storyline. They're gonna have team up, they're gonna miscommunication, hijinks ensue.
It is like they're playing like the WWE 2K games where every match, every storyline only has like four options and you have to pick between the four.
With two baby faces, it's one option.
Can they coexist? Right. No. It's not. Well, they got to win. They had a fun stare down. Speaking of tag teams, though, Street Profits and AJ and Omos, they run into each other. And I liked AJ taking shots at the Street Profits name. I thought that was funny. But we go to Mansoor versus Cedric Alexander. Fun match. Mansoor gets a clean win over a good opponent. This is a fresh matchup, so I liked it. But Ali came out looking like $1 million, saying he's going to beat him in his hometown. And I think, and Justin, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like this has just been a very well-executed, very well-paced, kind of middle-of-the-show rivalry that's kind of playing out really well.
Yeah, it's been one of the more consistent stories to follow. I know we'll probably do our Crown Jewel predictions here before we call it a night. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is setting up for at least a big moment for Mansoor or at Crown Jewel. The real question will be, once they get back stateside, do they do anything with it? Does it matter? Or do we just table him until we get around next spring and it's time to get ready for the next Saudi Arabia trip? That's what's going to come. That's the big question here.
I did think Mansoor cut the best promo he's ever cut tonight. Like, I thought he was good. He needs a little work, but I think he showed a lot of promise. Now, we're going to get to this. We're going to get to this later with Montez Ford. I see Montez Ford as an easy superstar, but I don't know if WWE feels like he's too small as far as his thickness. You know, like he's tall, but he's not thick. And WWE has a bad habit of not pushing guys like that. Because I think Montez has everything. And same thing with Mansoor. I think his size, it's not really the kind that they go with. So it just seems like when it's time for a Saudi Arabia show, you'll see Mansoor, and then he might be on main event otherwise.
Well, I hope they go with something for him. I hope they give him like a run at something. We'll see. We do continue on, though, and we alluded to it earlier in the show, and I've been waiting for this one, the no-holds-barred interview. We touched on it a little bit, but just because I feel like it was a really big part of the show, and it's going to be a big part of Crown Jewel. Goldberg, again, just saying he's going to kill Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley doing everything he can to try to one-up being murdered. We talked about it a little bit, so we won't belabor the point, but did you guys have any points you wanted to add on this one before moving on? I think this is better than the idea of taking someone's eye out, killing them, just going all out.
Yeah, I mean, like Raj kind of said earlier, I mean, some of the some of the feel from Goldberg's side of it, it did feel a little more authentic. Yeah, I think Raj mentioned UFC, and I get that. So, I mean, yeah, it's – to me, this is just – this is the office. This is management. This is Vince and Goldberg, whatever. I don't know, whatever it is. This is just writing the – you know, they couldn't have Goldberg win outright at SummerSlam. They weren't ready, you know. They weren't going to have Goldberg become world champion when Bobby Lashley was world champion. They weren't going to have Goldberg beat him for the world title. You know, Goldberg's not there. He wasn't sticking around to be world champion. So they had a really, you know, weird out in terms of the finish to that match. This is just writing that Goldberg wrong. This is Goldberg's got to get his win. That's all this is. The build, the heat into this, the murder and the stuff of the sun. It's just. I'll be really curious to see how the crowd reacts. I mean, I think the Saudi crowd's been pretty into Goldberg, if I recall, the Taker match.
They were, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'll be curious to see, like, what this looks like.
Raj, is it possible for Goldberg to win, not kill Goldberg, and not feel like how does Goldberg win and not kill Bobby Lashley at this point?
It doesn't matter. If Lashley loses, it's not like he's less of a star. I do think Lashley should win. I think it makes it, because you're expecting Goldberg to win, and I think it just makes Lashley that much bigger if he does, especially since he's been losing a lot lately. I think he should win. You know, if this was WWF in the 90s, we would have seen Lashley, you know, visiting the Suns high school football practice. And just beating up all the kids around, like threatening teachers, and that's a show long arc.
That would be.
And I kind of wish we would have seen that.
You could have people playing kids on the team, but like in the football jerseys, and him just throwing them around.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would have been great.
He's looking for a Goldberg's kid, and Goldberg's over in Atlanta watching on satellite. Oh man.
Some teacher comes out to the hallway. Hey, sir, you can't be here. You don't have. And Lashley stuffs him into a locker.
It would have been money.
That would have been amazing.
I was, you know, when I was watching that Seth Rollins home invasion thing with Edge, he closed the fridge after he opened it. Like, it was the lamest home invasion wrestling angle I had ever seen.
Yeah, it's that would have been. Actually,
drink juice and ate an apple.
I got to disagree with you, though, Raj. So today, no, I mean, you can't drink another man's orange juice. That's just ridiculous. I mean, hey, you went too far there. let's move on to RK-Bro versus the Street Profits. I thought this was fun. I love seeing these guys work together. And, Raj, to your point about Montez Ford, I was saying to myself, we're going to see Matt Riddle, Montez Ford, main event of pay-per-view. Sometime down the line road. I could see it. Those guys were so great together. I liked watching this. Got broken up by AJ and Omos, which wasn't the most surprising end of the match. But for what we got, I thought it was pretty fun. It looked like a good tease for what the tag team division on Raw could be. Any thoughts on that one, Raj?
No, not really. You, Justin?
No, I'll just say, you know, I can't recall having two tag teams, two babyface tag teams that are as over as Street Profits and RK-Bro are. So it was kind of cool to see them against each other. You know, it was a little more lighthearted in some ways. If you really watch close, you know, Randy's saying to them, you know, he wants a swig of whatever was in Montez's cup. And, you know, Montez takes the crazy spin spot they do with Riddle. And Montez is trying to like count his own fingers. And, you know, it was fun, but it made total sense. You had these two babyface teams. You know, they're going at it, crowds behind them. You know, and then, yeah, the heels and AJ and Omos come out and just and ruin the party. So this was actually just really simple, basic 101, but also, again, a little bit of a rare thing to see WWE again, to have two really over babyface tag teams going up against each other.
Real quick, I gotta say, there was a line that Saxon made where he said, "This could be the first of many matches between the Street Profits and Team RK Bro." I was like, I think that's pretty much a lock. Yeah. Any match you see, chances are we're gonna see it many more times.
Nostradamus over there.
Real quick, what do you guys think about Team RK Bro? I feel like it's getting a little long in the tooth. Like when they were doing their promo, the crowd didn't seem as into it as they have in the past. I thought, like, man, this feels like it's just jumped the shark. And I know saying jump the shark is jump the shark, but still, you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's man, when they got together, or you know, especially when it was in that phase of like before they even got to the honeymoon, when it was like Orton was in such denial and the fans were just clamoring for Orton to accept Riddle.
Right.
It was big. There was some big pops. And then it was great. They were in honeymoon phase. We're out of the honeymoon phase. It is starting to get like same jokes, same formula. They're going to have to pull the trigger on something, whether it's the split, whether it's, I don't know, but they're going to have to pull the, yeah, I agree. They have to change it up soon because it's getting, and I know we got Survivor Series coming up. So the likelihood of them changing it up before then is not good. But yeah, by the time we get to Rumble, especially, they're gonna have to play up the every man for themselves, who's trusting who. The surprise would be Riddle eliminates an Orton. You know, we all expect the Viper to eliminate him. So like they're gonna have to get to this sooner than later, because it is, I agree, Raj. I made that note too. It's starting to get really stale.
I don't want to tip my hand on the predictions, but I think it's gonna happen on Thursday.
Oh wow. That's pretty sad.
So Jack says, LaBar, your event on Saturday with Slade. How did it all go? Cheap plug for you. Much love, boys. Raj, here's some birthday money.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks, Jack. Yeah, we had IWC Super Indy 20 this past Saturday. Super Indy is a tournament that's been around for 20 years. I mean, CM Punk, Colt Cabana, Brian Danielson, Cesaro, anybody you can think of that's been an Indy darling in the last 20 years has done this Super Indy tournament. Adam Cole won it a couple years ago. So yeah, it was a big show. Unfortunately, Spencer Slade, the latest LaBar guy, technically in the history books, he did not win.
And it was your fault.
It was not my fault.
It was your fault.
Yeah. You had something to do with that, right?
What happened? You're a bad manager, man.
What happened, Justin?
I'm not a bad man. I have
Slade, if you're hearing this, Jack Farmer is who you need to go to for your next match.
Please.
Yes. I'll get you set up. I'll line up some tomato cans for you. You'll get some easy wins.
It was a very entertaining show. Everybody can check out more about IWCWrestling.com. It's IWC. It's not internet. That's not internet wrestling community. It's International Wrestling Cartel. IWCWrestling.com. You can check out past events. See when the new ones are. We have the IWC Wrestling Network. You can stream on there. You can also stream on Fight TV. I tell you what, I hold it up against any other independent promotion in the country. I mean, you go to any of our shows, you know, I mean, we got Titantron, we got Pyro, we got, you know, 500 people or more houses. I mean, it's a very, very interactive, high production quality show. So I'll hold it up against anybody's. Go check it out online.
Nice.
In all seriousness, it is very good stuff. So I definitely recommend it. Go check it out. Yeah,
absolutely. And thanks for the super chat. I got this for my birthday, this Cobra Kai shirt. And with the super chat money, I'm going to get the pants.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it if you wore pants, by the way, when you're on the show.
Right now, it's my Manscaped boxers.
Why clean code, it up? I'm not going to show it.
Code WINK20.
So we've got
Roger got some birthday fun lined up afterwards. He can't be wasting time having to take pants off.
Can't wear yeah that's
pants
yeah,
at a time like this.
Yeah,
can't do that.
It's a busy day. So Shayna Baszler and Doudrop had a busy day. They had a quick Queen's Cup match up, and Shayna Baszler broke a lot of arms, choked a lot of people out, but Doudrop was able to outsmart her and get the win, and we got Doudrop versus Zelina in the finals. Raj, was this the right call?
I don't know if this is due to
bartends. He's either bartending or he's pissing into a cup.
It's really a 50-50 chance.
Or both. I think Shayna... I hope it wasn't because of politics that she's not going to the finals. That kind of sickens me thinking about that. I think she should have won, in my opinion. But you know what? Zelina Vega, when she was up on that stage wearing the getup, I was like, she looks like it makes, you know, like it fits, like it makes sense. She could really, it could take her to the next level. Doudrop, I don't see it doing that. So if Zelina Vega wins, Queen Vega, I like the sound of it. Queen Doudrop, until she drops that Doudrop name. If they called her Queen Niven or Queen Piper, that's a different story. But Queen Doudrop is not going to help her. So Zelina's got a lot to gain. She looked great out there. I'm as long as they go that way, I'm fine with it. But I think Shayna, I feel like Shayna, with what they've been doing the past month, with her breaking arms and like ending careers, for her to get beat this quick, sucked.
Queen Doudrop sounds like the latest like mumble rapper that would
right
pop up on the scene.
but it wouldn't be spelled just straight up the way it is. You'd have to have like a zero in there or something.
No, it'd be spelled like K W E N, and then Doudrop.
I think Doudrop's the right winner. I think she should have won today. And her new catchphrase is going to be "Yes, Queen."
Here's the thing. Look, this was maybe the surprise of the night, because you have Shayna Baszler, who they've been like, looks like they've been trying to like correct course with her. You know, she does the whole gimmick of the queen and the playing cards. Like, so really thought this was kind of a layup of marketing that they decided not to go with. I will say, though, in the execution, when the match was over, they actually made Doudrop seem really tough and really credible. The fact that she was in that submission hold for like over a minute, and she's countering and whatever, and she doesn't tap, and you know, she's overpowering Shayna in a lot of the match. I mean, they made Doudrop look kind of credible, but at the same point, they kind of just poo-pooed on all the course correcting they've been trying to do with Shayna. So I don't know.
Exactly. If you're writing a book, I know I use Rocky comparisons all the time, so forget it. Johnny Lawrence. You're building Johnny Lawrence. He's not just randomly getting beat by someone else before he gets to Macchio in the finals, right? When you're building someone like that, just having them get beat just kind of takes all that steam away. And I think by beating Shayna, look, if she's not going to win, then just don't put her in the tournament. Or have her lose by countout or DQ. You do DQs all the time. Anyway, so I just think it, you finally get some momentum on someone and then you take it away. And I just think it's why they don't build superstars, except for Roman.
Yeah, I think their thought process is she's going to SmackDown anyway, so we'll all forget that this happened.
It's so dumb. It's not. Yeah, it's one thing if you're leaving the company. You're leaving a show that most people that watch Raw watch SmackDown and vice versa. Granted, more people watch SmackDown. But, you know, there's no reason you need to beat someone on the way out.
Yeah. But Official Tim says, tonight's show in SAC was good, even though I was working all night. Yeah.
Tim, were you working in Sacramento? Were you at the show? Or curious what the attendance was like. I know Friday night they had a sellout. They did really bad number in San Francisco the week before as far as attendance went, and sellout in Ontario on Friday. So
this arena didn't look – did not look exceptionally huge. I'd be curious if they had, if everything behind the cameras were tarped off. That's not.
What were sales like before everything shut down? Were they selling out everywhere they went?
No.
I didn't think
they were canceling house shows because they couldn't sell tickets.
They were cutting way down, and not right now. I don't think they have done a single branded show yet. I think they've all the non-televised events have been super shows.
Official Tim says, we didn't have the upper deck open. We just sold out the lower deck.
All right. And Tim, what would your, you don't have to send a super chat, just a regular chat, but what would you say the attendance look like percentage wise in the arena? And
this is a smaller building. Cause I used to go, you know, I remember back in the 90s, Sacramento, the Arco Arena. I mean, it was a big arena, but where basketball played out. This looks small.
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, AEW at least has a good lane. AEW does not go and run usually the same kind of buildings that WWE tries to run. The AEW goes for the next tier.
I don't know if they're allowed
down.
To.
Well, there's that, but they but even smartly, they go to the next tier down. They go to the college campuses, they go to the convention centers, they go down and they sell them out. And so it looks full, it looks packed. They could probably, that changes what they can charge for the ticket for the demand. Here's WWE paying higher rent for these bigger buildings that they Tim just said, they can't even get the upper deck sold. So,
well, AEW reminds me of ECW with as far as the number of fans, the percentage of fans that are willing to pay to go, that are actually willing to put money for the product. ECW is insanely high, they had 800,000 people watching on cable, but they're pay-per-view buy rates were 100,000. So, you get 15% that are paying for your pay-per-views. If WWE did that, it would be insane. So, they just have a fan base that is willing to pay for the product, which is awesome. That's hard to do.
That's the story of wrestling today. We're all excited because we have this war reemerging, and there is a heightened buzz, but we're not going through what we went through in 1997 or 98. Fewer people still watch wrestling. It's just the fact that wrestling, and WWE takes the lead on this, wrestling has found a way to pull as many cents out of each of these fans as possible. These fans will pay to have the WWE network on Peacock. They will pay to stream this. They'll pay to that. They'll pay to have this merchandise. The wrestling fan today is just spending more of their dollars per person than they ever were. So it seems, and there's a lot of chatter on social media, so it seems like it, but there's fewer people watching. It's not.
For sure. Yeah. And the amount that TV networks are paying per fan is ridiculously crazy compared to what it was in the 90s. I mean, I think 2000, when they did their, when they went from USA to TNN, I think they were looking for 40 million a year, something like that, in that range. Yeah. And I'll double check. But think about it. Now they're making 250 million for one show. So it's a different ballgame.
Yeah. And then in the chat, I wanted to say real quick, Official Tim answered, if we sold out, that would be 11 to 14,000. I would say 5 to 6,000 were there. So,
5 to 6. It's not bad.
Oz in the chat says, hey, Jack, NXT UK rules, King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring predictions. Yes, NXT UK is amazing. I strongly recommend it for anyone who has time for an extra hour of wrestling. It's a good show. It's a very, very streamlined show. They do a good job of not wasting time. King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring predictions we'll get to in just a quick second. But Mace and Balor have a match.
Oh, Queen of the Ring. Since we got to the finals here, with Doudrop winning, who do you pick?
Doudrop.
You think Doudrop?
I think because she says yes, and I think she's gonna have yes queen is gonna be her thing.
Zelina Vega, I feel like it's still curious to me that she came back after such a very public, nasty kind of departure. One of the first really fighting over the Twitch and the other property. And then she just winds up back there when her husband in real life departs and goes, on a contract snafu. To me, it feels like something like, hey, we got to give this to her. We got to do something to keep, to show her that we have more push behind her this time. I think she wins it.
And not just that, I mean, just seeing her up there with the whole getup, she just looks like a star. She might not, have a 5-star matches or whatever, but she's got that charisma. And I just feel like, I think this is her moment. I think she should win.
And this Crown Jewel show, this will be this show in Saudi, will have the most women's matches we've ever had. So that's kind of cool and important. I will say,
you
though,
mean overall or
on the card
for any
pay per view or any Saudi show?
Any Saudi show?
Well, yeah, Saudi's only had one.
So that's what I'm getting at though is that we're gonna have a couple women's matches on this. So that's again progress and important. I will say this though, and maybe this is a very, I don't know, take this how you will. Obviously, we've had one women's match before, and, it's a different country, different part of the world, different culture. All that said, the women, the female performers don't wear their same attire, or at least they hadn't in the past. I'll be curious, again, if the progression of having more women's matches and involvement in the show how we see them presented, how we see their looks. I'll be honest. I will say this. It was very cool to see Lacey Evans. Was it Lacey and Natty? Was that the first match?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Obviously, for all the cultural and historic purposes, that was great. Great to see the women's getting the women's match and having that happen. I will say, when I looked at it and I stepped back and let time go by and I watched it again, you know, you watch them, they have to change the gear. They change, you know, basically wrestling in sweats and T-shirts. Some of that is an American fan knowing what their character normally appears as. Some of it is, as an American fan, I do look at the match and go, this feels like I'm watching like a training match or a rehearsal match. I'll be curious how if the presentation of the women overall, their look and just time they're given, because time has been cut from the women's matches as of late on WWE programming. I'll be very curious to see how the presentation comes off, if it feels like a big deal or if it feels somewhat relegated, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, you know, that was always the big argument, was the wrestlers would say, well, look, we're trying to bring progress, and you know, there were no women's matches on the first one. Now you have two, at least. I think it's two. I don't know. If Shayna Baszler was not allowed to be in the finals because of politics in that region, it just still disgusts me. So...
yeah.
But
she put a tweet out. Did you see her tweet?
No.
I think she put a tweet out. I'll paraphrase it unless I can find it fast enough. But it was basically like, I've already been to Saudi more than once. I don't need a tournament to name me queen.
Okay.
So I mean, she
said, I've been to Saudi more than once and don't need a tournament to tell me what I am. Okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Well, it was just, it was a very, and like, and then it had like the,
like, does that mean she's saying she's allowed to go there? So, or is she saying, fuck that place?
I mean, I kind of took it as I kind of took it more to that of like, I don't need this hassle. That's how I read it, but I'm just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as far as the guys, King of the Ring, I say Balor. I think there's a lot of story and cool stuff that could happen with Woods, and I think a lot of people want to see it, and I don't blame them, but I got a feeling it's Balor. I think Balor's winning it.
I think Balor's king is boring. I'm hoping Xavier.
Woods.
We'll see. We'll see. Obviously, we'll see, because it's going to happen eventually. But real quick, Mason Balor have a match, and there's a stare down, I guess. No, I guess we kind of covered it. Like, they're going to have a match, and that's...
Yeah. So some people are asking why Shayna wouldn't be allowed in Saudi. They just have really backwards laws with the LGBT... LGBTQ community.
Well, I don't know if everybody that's watching, like, Shayna is, and she's open about it. She's a lesbian. So I don't know if everybody's aware of that, though.
Okay.
So we had a couple quick backstage segments. Nikki and Rhea Ripley are the welcome wagon for Bianca Belair. And John Morrison is meditating.
Pass.
The Viking Raiders, oh my God. Why.
Pass.
Why break up Miz and Morrison if this is what you got?
Was it their choice? Miz was going to Dance with the Stars, right?
Well, when they broke him up, they didn't know that yet. But if you're giving someone a fresh coat of paint, this is what you're giving him? You know, like, Morrison is so talented.
Yeah.
Do something with this guy. Jesus Christ. I mean...
I want to see Morrison... versus Ricochet versus Reggie.
Yeah.
Cirque du Soleil.
I think that's the thing about...
You mean Reggie. Morrison. You said Reggie?
Yeah, Reginald.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. He's Reggie now.
Whatever. Who cares? I mean, that's the thing with guys like Morrison and Ricochet, and that is what kind of drives me nuts, is you can just... That's your filler in the middle of the show if you don't have anything. Just put him in the ring with Ricochet. We always saw that a bunch, but... Put him in the ring with Reggie and just have him tear it down for 10 minutes. And even if it has nothing to – at that point, even if there is no story, you're just like, this is exciting though. It's fun. They're jumping around and doing cool stuff.
This is not a WWE versus AEW thing. It's just a difference in their philosophy. But imagine John Morrison versus Ricochet in AEW. It's a whole different match than on Raw. And John Morrison versus Ricochet versus Reggie. I mean,
actually, and I think Morrison and Ricochet, now that I think this, I think they actually crossed paths in Lucha Underground.
They did.
Oh, Johnny. Yeah, they did. Yeah. Johnny Mundo and
Prince Puma.
Prince Puma, yeah.
Yeah. Johnny Mundo was great. I loved him. I like John Morrison too, but I was a big Lucha Underground fan. We get to the finals of the show, Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair. I think from the start of Bianca Belair's music to the end of the match, it was like 22 minutes, and it ends in a DQ. Second DQ of the night, at least of the big matches. This was a great match up until the very end, by the way. I was really into it. Bummed it came to a DQ, but not surprised. Raj, good match in DQ to close the show.
You know how I feel about DQ, having a long match ending in a DQ. I do think the women have been just killing it. You know, Becky and Sasha on Friday, then this. The match was awesome. I think Bianca is on her way to be one of the best. She, her athletic ability, you know, she's got charisma. She's got everything. So I think this match really showed that she's going to be there. In that equation with Charlotte and Io Shirai and Asuka and, you know, Sasha Banks.
Asuka? Where's Asuka?
Mm. I thought she hurt herself.
Yeah, injured reserve.
Mm. And maybe not hurt herself, but she got hurt. I don't know. I don't know what was wrong, but I thought I saw her in a cast or something on social media. Yeah. But I was going to say, I agree with you about Bianca. I think she's, well, no, it's your birthday. I don't agree with you about, wait, I don't know what to do here. But Bianca, she needs to start getting some wins again. I don't remember
yes.
the last time she walked away with a win. And you can be great and everything, but if you keep taking
right.
losses.
In the story, if you're not winning.
Yeah, you become that person very quickly. And it's been since SummerSlam. I don't remember the last time she really looked like the winner in the situation or the focal point in the situation.
Yeah, this was kind of confusing to me. It was a really good match. I mean, once the bell rang, there were two commercial breaks, and they led into each woman being thrown over the announce table. So, I mean, it was a really cool build and a story. It was physical. Charlotte had a bloody mouth. I mean, we caught some expletives of them selling. And I mean, this was intense. And yeah, like, you know, Bianca, to so many people's perspective, Bianca got done so dirty at SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of thought, like, this seemed like this was super predictable, right? Charlotte's leaving Raw. She's the Raw Women's Champion, so she's just going to drop it. She's just going to do what every talent does, and they leave the territory, so to speak. So you just kind of figure, okay, you're tuning in to watch a really good match and to watch over babyface Bianca win this title. And then for it to end, and it felt rushed too. I'm looking at the clock, and I think they ran over a little bit, like maybe by a minute. And for it to end in this DQ, which is, that was even baffling, because now, again, Charlotte's leading Raw, but she's still got the title. I don't know.
I hope they don't do just a switch.
Yeah. I got a feeling.
Real quick, Anwar Ali saying, from Saudi, I love this show and happy birthday, Raj. And thank you, Anwar. I really appreciate it. Love our fans worldwide. And if you ever look at my tweets during Crown Jewel, I always talk about how it's so cool seeing fans over there getting to, you know, just how much they love what they're watching and WWE. So anything I say about Saudi Arabia is definitely never about the fans. It's about the politics.
Yeah, it is, you know, when you think about it from a fan perspective, it's always cool when you get to see fans get to have that live experience. So.
Yeah, and you could tell they enjoy it greatly. And man, I don't know. I feel like your first experience at a wrestling show is it's like sex. You're never going to forget it.
Right. Exactly.
You'll never forget your first.
That is one of my complaints about the Saudi shows, though, is just economically, like, you know, you see the ringside, you see people, I assume, that just have more money, higher class, that are just right. lounging in these great accommodations, but they don't seem emotionally invested, or they seem, right. I don't say bored, but like they're not. Then if you can catch a camera shot of the crowd further back,
They're just loving it.
Yeah, I would just, again, and I've never been to Saudi Arabia, so I don't want to sound ignorant, but I'm going to say what I assume would be just the more middle class of the population. They are so into it. It's like, God, I wish they were closer to the ring to feel that and to show that on the camera. Again, it's my kind of complaint about the shows. I'm sure there's so much more to that, but I wish that we could see more of the excitement of the day-to-day Saudi Arabia.
That makes a huge, and that makes a huge difference. You guys have seen WrestleMania 4 and 5, right? When it was at Trump Plaza and it was all the casino,
the fat people, cats.
The fat cats. And it just, like, they didn't know who the fuck was who. They're just like, you know, hey, who's the fellow with the snake?
Hey, that snake's dangerous. What's he doing with that?
They're just waiting for Hulk Hogan. And some of them knew Macho Man and Andre, and that was pretty much it.
So Michael in the chat says, happy birthday, Raj. Curious on your guys' favorite wrestling video game. And have you guys been following up with the development of the new AEW game? I'm going to go on a limb here. I don't think you guys are video game people.
Not currently. But pro wrestling on the NES was... I probably played like 17,000 hours of that. With Fighter Hayabusa and King Slender and King Korn Karn. I mean, that was my jam.
King Korn Karn.
The Amazon.
Yeah, Michael, the only video games I've played in the last 10 years have been like Madden and NHL with like my brother-in-law or something. But yeah, I mean, you know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, I bought the wrestling games. It's certainly not the best game, but I will never forget the first game WWE put out for PlayStation. I think it was like Warzone or... But it was the first one where, you know, it had pyro in it. And there was a lot of little features, again, that I remember that were big at the time. And PlayStation was pretty revolutionary with its, you know, graphics and physics and whatever. You know, I remember like that was the game I can remember like really working to save money to go buy. Like it was a big deal. It was a big thing to obtain that.
There was this arcade game. I want to say it was in 89. It was called The Main Event. And it wasn't affiliated with any wrestling promotion. And me and my... we were staying in Alexandria, Virginia. We had a brand new house that was being built in Fredericksburg. So we were staying at this... Anyway. Long story short, every day I'm going here. And I'm spending probably like 10 bucks a day on this game. And, you know, my parents... After a while, it was kind of going in the purse and sneaking a 10 out. It was theft.
I was stealing
from my parents. It was theft.
But not to go buy cigs.
No, not booze, not cigs. It was to play the main event. And I loved it. That game was awesome. I wish I could find it. I actually was trying, because we have a spot in our basement for an arcade game. And I was looking for either Punch-Out or that game, and I can't find either.
I'm a big video game guy. I used to play more when I had more time, as it always goes. But I played so much. WrestleMania 2000 was probably my big one. I played a ton of. We'd all talk trash at school, and then we'd go to a friend's house and play and beat each other up. So that was probably my favorite of all the games. But
you know the worst video game of all time?
Uh-oh. Was it the one where it was all backstage stuff in WCW?
No, it was WWF. Well, for me that I played, WWF game that they had on NES. It was unacclaimed. It was acclaimed. It was the worst. And I was a huge, huge WWF fan at the time. And I love pro wrestling, the pro wrestling video game. And so I got that. And I'm like, this is what I'm doing for the next 3 months. It sucked. It was so bad. It was terrible. It was the worst game. It was like E.T. If you remember E.T. on the Atari.
Yeah.
It was like that.
I don't think I played that one. But yeah, one of them, there literally is no ring. It's just all backstage, and it's a horrible game.
Oh, that must have been WCW.
sounds like a WCW video game.
Remember the late 90s is not wrestling game. Remember the Vigilante 8? You'd be like a crazy ass vehicle and you go around and shoot and have all kinds of weapons.
I didn't play that one, but that sounds fun.
I didn't play that one either.
Resident Evil 8.
That sounds like or video game.
I used to play like Kung Fu and
Sega Dreamcast, the Crazy Taxi.
That one I remember.
We're different generations.
No, yeah, I had Offspring when you beat it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Galaga, am I right? Am I right?
Hey, there's a place for Galaga somewhere.
Space Invaders.
So if you guys are up for it, let's do a real quick run through of Crown Jewel and get our predictions in. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. Who do you guys got?
Roman.
Do you think he pins him?
No, I think it's got to be a screwy finish. And I think, look, Brock's not there every week and every day. Roman is. I think the only way to get out of this is Heyman physically does something to Brock, low blow something, and then you get out of it that way. And set up for a rematch.
Yeah. I think Reigns beats Brock, probably pins him because of Heyman.
Yeah. I think the opposite. I think Brock wins because Heyman messes up and costs Roman the title.
Ooh, that would be intriguing.
Yeah. And then real quick, Peter in the chat says, will we see Tom Lawler in AEW with Dan Lambert? Maybe. He's in New Japan, right? He's got
His MLW contract is coming up. I mean, they're throwing so many guys out there with this angle. They had Paige VanZant's husband. I'm forgetting his name.
Yeah,
it's just like who the fuck is that?
That's real quick. Not to AEW. That is probably AEW's biggest downfall, or one of them is. And obviously, WWE has downfalls. So AEW fans, chillax.
How did Vince get in your pocketbook?
I know. I've been on. Triple H has been sending me. He's been Venmoing me money for
years here. Speaking Raw, but now I think that maybe they're paying you.
No, but AEW's biggest thing is they do, and part of this is because their fan base is hardcore, dedicated. As I touched on earlier, and we talked, it's a smaller pool. They assume that everybody watches everything and knows everything. They assume more people watch Being the Elite than they actually do, that they will piece little things together. And that's also another thing. They think that, like, oh, everybody knows who they – and that is one thing. That is something that they are going to have to, you know, get better at or swallow some pride with if they want to truly go to that next level and continue the competition in terms of grabbing more casual new fans. You have to assume – and WWE is the opposite in the spectrum. WWE is reckless. WWE figures everybody that's watching has the brain retention
of a mosquito. Yeah. It's like Memento.
They figure, this happened at 8:05. It's now 8:45. We have to show you a full recap package to make sure you didn't forget, you dumb shit. They need to like tone it down. Whereas AEW feels like everybody's fucking Rain Man.
That's awesome. From Bellator.
Right.
Who the fuck is that?
Oh, Eddie Edwards is doing a cosplay from 1993 New Japan. Like, we have to find a middle ground.
Why are these guys wrestling? Oh, you didn't. It was on Eddie Edwards' cosplay from last Thursday, you idiot.
You didn't see Kenny Omega had an entire IGTV reel about why this was significant wrestling.
It was up for 24 hours. You didn't see it?
Yeah, it was on his Instagram stories. Asshole. WWE Mark.
Yeah, if it's not on network TV, I feel like it doesn't count.
No, if it's on Dark or Elevation, and it's a storyline that's supposed to conclude on Dynamite, you need to show the story.
Yeah, 100%, because otherwise I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to Brock and Roman.
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 Everyone, I'm going Brock. Everyone in the chat, keep track. I'm going to have a perfect score by the end of this.
Hair versus hair. If Jack loses.
No.
Justin. Justin, it's.
After my man.
Goatee.
I already lost hair versus hair. Jack, you are coming on live after Crown Jewel with me. And if you're We can do a competition. You can shave your head live. We can use the lawnmower. Manscaped, we can use the product to shave your head.
There you go.
Live on the podcast.
That sponsorship's going to have to get a little bit better.
Fine, we shave your balls, or we don't shave
your balls. Shaving the balls on the podcast.
Carve the pumpkins.
Carving the pumpkins.
Jack-o'-lantern competition.
Off the rails we are.
Big E versus Drew McIntyre.
Big E.
Big E's got to win. Come on. I love Drew, but he's leaving. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks.
What are the rules for this match now?
I think it's just first one.
Well, so
one
here's the
finish.
So you have
both titles are on the line.
There's only one title. Becky's champ.
Wait, isn't Charlotte Flair in the match now?
Becky, Bianca, and Sasha.
Becky's the champion. Bianca's going to Raw. So Becky's going to Raw as well. So you kind of think like, well, doesn't Sasha just have to take it?
Right. It's Sasha.
Sasha.
Yeah. What about Charlotte then?
That's what's baffling. She's still the champion.
So it's like Becky has to win or Bianca, and then they trade titles.
That's what's going to happen, I think.
Oh, I hate that.
I hate the trading titles.
Oh, my God.
Becky's going to retain.
Ugh.
Because Bianca's just on a slide right now, and I don't see it changing.
I would rather have both women's champions be on one show than do the trade thing. Same. Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. I agree.
Doesn't change the prediction. Same thing. So next up, either Bobby Lashley wins or he dies.
He dies.
A murder match.
He dies. Murder, death, kill.
Can I kill Goldberg? No. No, only Goldberg can kill you. You got to pin him or...
It's a Squid Game.
Let's hope Goldberg doesn't concuss himself before he makes it to the match.
Red light. I'm going Lashley. All logic says Goldberg wins, but he's got only a couple matches left on his contract. I think it's better long term for Lashley to win.
Well, it's better, but they're not going to do that, Raj. This is Goldberg. They had to. Can you imagine how much it pained them to have Goldberg just not win and like?
He doesn't care about wins or losses.
No. But at SummerSlam, this is him. He couldn't win at SummerSlam because they weren't getting him the title. This is him getting to get a win back in a match that means nothing otherwise. No title on the line. This is Goldberg all the way. He might come in and this might be Goldberg in 98. He might come in and do this in 90 seconds.
Hmm.
I think Lashley's going to win because Gage is going to help him. I think Gage is going to
Gage turns on Goldberg.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what's going to happen. And then Edge versus Seth Rollins. Hell in a Cell. I go Edge.
Who won the last time they fought?
Rollins.
Was it
SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Wrestling 101 would say Edge, right?
Right.
Final Edge. Payoff.
Edge is winning, and he's going to be the next guy
for Big E.
Well, he has a baby face.
Wait, which show is he on?
He's moving to Raw.
Moving to Raw.
So is Rollins.
It's too early, though.
So is Ray, and Ray still has an eye left, so you can continue the Ray and Seth Rollins feud.
Right.
For the other eye.
They can actually have a best of three because you could take one of Rollins' eyes and then the tiebreaker.
Then you start going to like the tongue.
I hate us right now.
Then you go to the jack-o'-lanterns.
It's no longer I'm on the East Coast. It's no longer Raj's birthday, so I'm not playing into this.
Oh man,
you got to
Raj sucks.
Raj, I sent you a tweet too at the start of this. You've completely no-sold my tweet to you.
Dude, my Twitter's been just freaking nuts the last
few days. Well, you follow me. I think I would be higher in your priority notifications.
I don't see anything.
I sent you a fun, clever tweet that I thought everybody would jump on with God, the whole weekend it. Problem.
Oh.
Oh, now you see it.
No, I don't. Actually, I don't. Seriously, and not to sound like that guy, but...
Hey, go to your mentions, click verify, because I'm verified, so you can see verified mentions to you.
Way to lord that
over the unverified. I still need to get verified. I should do that one of these days.
You're not verified?
No, I'm not. No blue check.
Really?
I'm the only one.
Well, I'm not verified.
Oh, you're not either. Glenn is... Alfred is.
Well, Glenn's been in the pocket of the internet since like 1999. I've been, it's get verified.
All right.
I'll let Twitter know. Justin says I should be a part of a verified.
I felt
so special. What'd you send? I don't see it.
I'm not. No, it's going to kill the magic of it. I think I always felt special. I was like one of the first of the wrestling personnel. I was verified before Meltzer ever was. I was verified.
Meltzer's not verified.
Oh, he's not? Okay, well, good. No. Fuck him. I was verified before everybody else, and then everybody else started getting the blue check mark. I didn't mean anything. So, I used a weekend GIF, whatever, peanut butter. I used the weekend GIF to describe you trying to find tickets to another weekend concert. That was my whole haha.
Man, are you sure you sent it to me? It's not on here.
You're the only Raj Giri I follow.
There's some other Raj going.
There's some Indian priest named Raj Giri that's like, what the fuck is this?
Just click go to verified notifications.
Dude, I'm looking under mentions. I don't see it. I'm going to 2 hours.
Raj is popular. He gets a lot of tweets.
No, I tweeted it at 11:14 p.m. Eastern time. It's got 3 likes.
All right. I don't see it. Well, maybe I blocked you.
What? That checks out.
Oh, here we go. Oh, here we go.
I can't believe all right,
I got it. There it is. Right. I'll retweet it. I'll give you a retweet.
Since
it's still my birthday in California and Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's the notification. Raj retweets.
That said, Justin, Edge or Seth Rollins?
Who's fighting? Not Edge, I guess.
RK Bro versus AJ Styles and Omos. I think AJ Styles and Omos win and RK Bro break up.
I agree. It's time.
And I think then you get AJ and Omos versus Street Profits.
RK Bro, but the breakup's going to happen. It needs to happen sooner than later, but not this Thursday.
Mansoor versus Ali. Okay, Mansoor.
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 Didn't they say it's like his hometown too?
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia.
It's like that's a safer bet than Undertaker at Mania, I think. Yeah. And then the other two are just the King of the Ring and Queen's Cup, which we already went through.
So yeah, Xavier for me and Zelina for me.
Both wrong.
Oh, geez.
It's gonna be
your hair is on the line, man.
Dewdrop and Finn. In the chat says Raj Trump wish Raj a happy birthday.
It's gonna be the best day that you've ever had.
I don't know.
It's the best day. It's so good.
It's not the same. I'm losing it. I'm losing my... He's not around. I can't listen and learn and enhance my impression. So, anyway.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge. Huge.
Yeah.
Mm.
It will be, I'm sure. So that does it for us.
So there we go. We talked about ball shaving and arcade games and my bad Trump impression. And
great show, everyone. Especially on the floor. Great show. It's the Ron Burgundy. Good show.
Good show. Good show, everyone. That does it for us today. We've got NXT after show tomorrow on Wrestling Inc. We got AEW? No, AEW's not on Wednesday.
No, still Saturday.
Back to Saturday.
It's throwing me off.
Yeah, it's been throwing me off all week, actually. Even now, because I was catching up on it earlier today. It was weirding me out. Anyways.
I'm back on Thursdays. Crown Jewel.
Crown Jewel on Thursday, where everyone is going to be telling me how I got every prediction right across the board.
Right.
Jack, are you with me Thursday?
Samantha,
you
nailed it.
I'm not on Thursday.
Who's with me Thursday?
It's you and Issa.
Just her and I?
I think so. Yeah.
Not Alfred, too?
No, Alfred can't. He's busy.
All right.
Yeah, you and Issa.
Should be. Oh,
and Chuck. I think Chuck as well.
Chuck. Okay. Well, I'd say if it's just Issa and I, that's it. That. That'll go off the rails way even easier. So
it's gonna be the Roman love hour if that's the case.
I know.
It'd be me, Issa, and her dog named Roman.
So you definitely want to check that out. And of course, Friday night is Rampage, SmackDown, and a Dynamite, Saturday Dynamite. All sorts of stuff, all sorts of news on Wrestling Inc. By the way, check that out as well. That does it for us this week. I am Jack Farmer. He's Justin Labar, and he is the birthday boy, Raj Geary. That does it for us. We'll see you guys tomorrow for the NXT After Show.
Thanks, everyone, for the birthday wishes. Really appreciate it.